I would like to let you know that the entire month of July has been dedicated to reinforcing and talking about our missions here at the church. Those of you who can, if you can't, don't say our core value. It's not the last, but at the same time it is the last one in the row over here, is our core value that says we value our commitment to missions. We measure that through in many different ways, whether it's going or whether it's sending, whether it's giving or whether it's supplying, all of those things. So this entire month is going to be about that. The missions, the theme for July is basically missions. And I love it because we got so many things going on. We got the project of One Day to Feed the World. We have our Costa Rica trip. We have kids that are going on missions trips. Liz Burns has been trying to raise her funds to go on a missions trip. Corey Moyer is going to be coming back soon and giving us a report of where she's been. Alyssa Deal has been over in Chi Alpha and missions trips and several different things like that. We are a missions church. I don't know that we're the greatest missions church, but I know that we're a great missions church in the respect that we love missions around here. Now, that may not touch you. It may not get into your back pocket. It may not get into your mind. But at the same time, when you look around, you see that there's something innate about God's heart that says we must be about missions. And I'm not talking about just foreign missions or home missions or just giving, but the fact that God came on a mission through His Son, Jesus Christ, to touch our life. And that's what we need to be all about. Today, we're going to talk about something that I hope will get us jump-started. You see, in missions, it comes to, we have to have a heart for missions, then you have to have a target and take some action. That's really, those three processes will get you right in the midst of missions, that you have a heart for it. Without a heart, all of this other stuff is irrelevant. But you have a heart for missions, and then you identify a target and you take some action. Jim and Jody Smith will be going back to China soon. Their heart is for China. Their target is to go out and reach that nation. Their action is to go. Our job is to help support that and many, many other things. Just last week, we had Ferry Ryder here, and boy, did you hear the passion, the heart, the target, and the action that she had taken. And that's what God wants for all of us. Not all of us are going to be called to be a missionary. Not all of us are going to be called to go on a missions trip. Not all of us are going to be involved in a missions endeavor, but we all need to be a part of what that looks like. And today, we're going to talk about remembering the poor. You go, wow, Pastor, that was a pretty quick turn in the other direction. Not at all. Because one of the greatest cries of God's heart is to take care of the poor and to remember the poor. It's a great place to start to identify and associate your heart with one of the biggest areas of God's heart. How many of you remember or know somebody that's poor? Now, you know, a lot of us would know maybe that, but I remember growing up, it was probably the greatest, you know, time of me understanding that because we went to school with some very, very poor people. Now, a lot of us in America have said this, and it's true, but a lot of us grew up poor. We just didn't know it. You know, we really didn't have a whole lot, but we never knew it. It never registered as we were underprivileged or none of us were malnourished and that type of thing. But we, in many ways, regardless of how you gauge that, we grew up poor. We just didn't know it. My mom and dad decided to have six kids, and we swapped clothes left and right. We grew our own garden. My dad bartered more than he did anything else. I never saw him ever write a contract. He shook hands and said, I promise I'll do this. And we swapped work and all kinds of things, and we helped other people. We picked up hitchhikers. We were poor. We just didn't know it. But at the same time, we were very wealthy. Very wealthy. Loved my childhood. Loved the way it was raised. My dad was hard. You can't even say it hard. It's hard. But at the same time, it was amazing. The things that he did that was hard really came across as, I love you too much to let you ruin your life, you little booger. Now straighten up and here comes the belt. You know, we were poor and didn't know it. We were disciplined, but we were loved. But yet we're talking about a part of the world that doesn't know that. Jimmy Snyder lived not too far from me. This house didn't have any electricity that I remember. There were holes in his floor. I remember when we'd go to school, he would always take his brown paper bag that was pretty much the same paper bag because he would fold it up and take it home because he would have to use it for lunch the next day. His lunch didn't look anything like my lunch. It was a couple of pieces of bread. I don't remember a whole lot being on it. He never had a treat or anything like that. There was never a cookie, maybe a fruit, and that was about it. Of course, we got all our drinks at school cafeteria with, you know, milk and everything like that. And his clothes where we're pretty repetitive. And his clothes smelt. I remember going to his house a couple of times, and when you went to his house, it was sad. It was dingy. It was dark. It needed paint badly, and it was just not a really comfortable place to be. And I knew Jimmy Snyder in that respect. Jimmy and I, you know, we played sports together, and I began realizing when you get into the locker room, this guy never wore underwear. I wondered why. Couldn't afford it. There's always somebody off worse than you. And you may have it rough, but there's always somebody else worse than you. And what we understand is what God said. He said, I want you to remember the poor. Let me take you back to the Old Testament. Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and the scripture will be on the screen here if it's not already there. It simply says this. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? God is talking about fasting, giving up food. He says, is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him. And when you hide yourself from your own, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You know what he's saying? Hey, these are your brothers and your sisters, your neighbors. Don't hide. Don't ditch. Don't get out of the way. Don't go around them. Instead, embrace them. And then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. And you shall cry and he will say, here I am. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. But is it maybe that sometimes we don't see God show up? It's because we haven't showed up in other people's lives. Their life was just a little too difficult to stomach. Maybe their circumstances weren't convenient. Maybe we didn't know how to embrace them. So you know what? Whether it was embarrassment or negligence or ignorance, we avoided them. And maybe God wasn't going to be able to show up because we didn't show up when he wanted us to. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continuously and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Wow. We know what's out there, but God addresses poverty over and over again. Over 3,000 verses of Scripture in the entire Bible over just poverty alone. There's only one thing that God talks about more, and that's salvation. And that's salvation. He talks about the poor. How could we miss this? Because it's easy to do that. But who are the poor? Outside of the obvious, who are the poor? Let me give you some stuff. I looked this up. There are billions that are living in extreme poverty throughout the world. We understand that. You see the picture here in just a second. Look at these kids with their hands extended out there. They're just begging for somebody to come on and just give them something. 17% of our world lives on $1 a day or less. Add to that another 43%, then you have 50% of the world's population that lives on less than $2 a day. Now listen, that doesn't strike us, it doesn't fear us, it's not supposed to scare you, I'm not supposed to embarrass you by that, but it's just a comparison that we don't have. Here in America, we don't have that. We think we're doing a good deal when we clean out our closets after a garage sale and take it down to the Goodwill. And that's not a condemning statement, it's just that's what makes us proud, for the most part, when we do something like this. You know what? Because that was sacrifice. We need to clean out the attic anyway. There I am, back in the attic. UNICEF said this, 25,000 children die a day, 11 million a year. Most of them are under the age of 5. 6 million of them are from preventable diseases like malaria or diarrhea or pneumonia. 114 million children do not attend any type of school whatsoever. We would be surprised at that, but that doesn't surprise us in some of these worlds that they live in. More than a billion people have no access to safe water. You know, remember when water used to be free? Now we buy bottled water at the same price that we buy pop and stuff like that. It's amazing. We take water for granted around here. Water is always accessible, whether we like it or not, whether it's the right temperature or not. It's always there. But these people, these billions of people, the only access they have is to water that's usually a stream that's also used for cooking water. It's also used as the latrine. It's also used for horses and animals, and it's also used for a place to wash their clothing. They all use this together. I've been to Haiti. I've seen that. And it's not a bragging point. Wow, I've been there. I've been there. So what? I mean, what was so what is you look at these people and what they live on and what they live in. It's amazing. Haiti is one huge dump. And you've heard that and you've seen that, but it doesn't affect you until you get there. And sometimes if we're not careful, it only affects us for a little while until we get back here and now we're back to normal. And God says, that's not appropriate. That's just a snapshot of the billions of people around the world that are in extreme poverty. But what about right down the road? What about right here? What about the Jimmy Snyders that we have right here in Claremore? Listen, they live here in the United States. They live in our community. And compared to the poor around the world, you know what? They're wealthy. They're wealthy. Even the things that they discard. It amazed me in going to some of these countries. I've gone to Haiti and I go, what is that? It's a satellite dish for crying out loud. You know, I'm going, what is all this? It's amazing how many people have a cell phone all around the world. But at the same time, when you compare, you know, oranges to oranges, these people are extremely poor. And they're oppressed. And they've been exploited and they've been taken advantage of and they're homeless and they're hungry. They're single parents. They're our elderly. They're unemployed. They're the people that have no housing. They're the disabled. And God says, don't forget them. Don't forget them. Unless you think this is a sermon where the pastor is talking to the congregation about you just need to get off your blessed assurance and let's do something. It's this pastor saying, God, help us all to do something. Help us all to remember the poor. Oh, let's raise a bunch of money and go to Costa Rica. Let's raise a bunch of money and give it to One Day to Feed the World. But if we don't do anything within our own heart to identify a target and take some action, then we've lost it. We've just totally lost the whole thing. Why even emphasize missions if it's not going to have a preferred ending? And that's why God wants us to be there. But what are the causes of poverty? Some causes are simply this: injustice. There are a lot of horrible people out there making horrible decisions, unethical, immoral decisions that affect people and cause them to live in poverty. Proverbs 13 says this: the field of the poor yields abundant food, but without justice, it is swept away. People more powerful than you, that yield more strength than you, they'll come and they'll just take it right out of your hands. Little fault of their own, people end up in poverty because of injustice. The 10 greatest poverty-stricken countries in the world are in Africa. Have you ever looked at Africa closely? Most of us just see the bloated tummies of these kids and we go on to the next channel, but there are horrible things going over there. Warlords, there are tribal wars, all kinds of things, and people are being devastated in the midst of these people who are just unjust, unmoral, unethical people, and it's a horrible thing. Another thing that causes poverty is simply wrong choices. We understand that. You've seen your friends make horrible choices. And it's not talking about, oh, I missed it in the market. This isn't about, I should have bought this instead of that. No, we're talking about people who have made some horrible choices. Alcohol, drugs, gambling. Listen, don't get me started on gambling because I am so sick and tired of people coming up here because of their gambling debt. Because they go down there and they are enticed to spend their money just to get them started. It's an addiction. And it amazes me how proud we are of the money we've set aside through all of these things and these things that we've gotten through gambling to provide counseling for those people that are addicted to gambling. Give me a stinking break. Sorry I said stinking in the pulpit, but it was in the right perspective. It's amazing to me how this happens. Listen, I told my kids a long time ago, I said, if I ever see you buying a lottery ticket, I'm going to slap you first and cut you out of the wheel second. Get out of here. Have you ever seen the people that are down there buying those lottery tickets? And some of you have bought a lottery ticket. I wasn't there, but I can feel it. I can feel it in the room. And it's fun to talk about it when you know you haven't. But I got to tell you, have you ever seen the people that buy that? They have rusted out fenders. There's no tread on their tires. Listen, the lawyers and the doctors and the millionaires aren't going down there and buying those things in Quick Trip and causing me to wait 5 minutes while you scratch something off. Did I mean to vent? I guess I did. Amazing. I will confess, I did gamble once, all right? I'm going to tell you. I was down in the Bahamas with a bunch of guys. We're down there in ministry. They put us in this hotel that had this great restaurant down at the bottom, and that's where we were supposed to get our food. They were paying for it, so we walked through the casino. And I said, guys, I've never pulled the lever on that thing. I've seen it 100 times. And I went over and I popped a quarter in this machine and I pulled the lever and nothing happened. It was all push button. I was angry. I didn't get the pure joy of pulling the lever. You see, I wasn't in the United States anymore, so it was legal for me to gamble. You know what we do? We go out of the county or across state. Never mind. You know what I got? I got $44. Coins just started ripping there. I'm going, duh, chicken, $44. I told those guys, I said, all right, I'm buying everybody's lunch, and don't you dare tell a single soul that I did this. One and only time I ever gambled, I just want to let you know. Okay? God forgave me somewhere. Wrong choices. Proverbs 23 says this, the sluggard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe them with rags. Listen, running with the wrong crowd, making the wrong choices, dropping out of school. Listen, some of these choices may seem like the only choice you have to have, but they're still bad and they're foolish. So we can't allow people to do this. That's why education is just as important as giving somebody a job. We got to help them understand and learn. Some of these addictive behaviors aren't because they have the resources and they're just ignoring them. I mean, they're in a trap. They have been hung into this mentality, in this addictive behavior, and they don't know how to get out of it. And God forbid that we condemn them. Instead, let's reach out and somehow try to embrace them on the only way we can do. Listen, we may fail a couple of times, but if we'll keep trying, God's going to help us with a success story. We're going to have a victory somewhere in there, and God's going to help us. Another cause is laziness. Listen, sometimes people are lazy, and that because they're lazy, they are poor. Proverbs 10 says, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 19 says, laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. Now listen, I understand this makes perfect sense that if you're lazy, you're going to suffer the consequences of that, and sometimes it's poverty. But let's be careful how we look at this and start. Instead of jumping to judgment or to conclusions, let's understand the real question isn't how or why they got there. The real question is, what does God want us to do about it? That's what God wants to do about it. Listen, the people that come in to us for benevolence, and let me tell you what, it's escalating. It's always been really, really tough. We work in conjunction with Community Action. We ask people to go there because they screen them. They interview them. They find out if it's a legitimate need or not. And then we say, if you find a legitimate gene, send them to us. We want to help them. So they come and we set a budget of about $500 or $600 every month, and it's usually used up by the third week in the month, and we usually exceed that a little bit or whatever. We try to help everybody we can in this church. But I'm going to tell you what, we never, ever say, listen, and just why can't you pay your utility bill? We're not here to interrogate. We're here to ask God, what do you want us to do to help them? And listen, let me just get off here on the side here. Thank you for tithing and offering, whether you text it or write it in a check. Thank you for giving us the permission and the position to be able to help these people. Listen, all that they know is they go to the church. And yeah, there are some people out there, they're just scoundrels. They know the process. Had somebody call the other day. Hey, will you check your list and see if it's been 6 months? Because you told me last time I couldn't come back for 6 months. They're ready for their next endowment. Amazing how this works. And it's sad because what tells me about that, more than the fact that they're still in poverty, is that they have this mentality, I'm going to go back and repeat this process because they don't find a way out. God says, remember the poor. That's what God says. What does he say to the poor about the poor? Remember the poor. God loves the poor, and so should we. If you read the Bible and miss that, then I don't know how you did that. But we often do. We read right over it, and we read of these things, and it's a classification that maybe we don't immediately identify with, but instead of stopping and really asking what the heart of God is on that, we go on to what we're looking for in some feel-good verse of Scripture or something that gives us guidance or tells me what the will of God is. The will of God is pretty simple sometimes when you just look there, because God has always had a special place in His heart for the poor. And one of the greatest tests of godliness is if we have a place in our heart for the poor as well. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be sweet and wonderful. I hope I get this quote correct. I heard about Sister Teresa. She was interviewed by somebody, Mother Teresa, I'm sorry. And somebody said, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. She goes, that's funny, I wouldn't either. Did you hear the irony in that? Give me $100, I wouldn't do it for that either. I'll do it because it's God's heart in me. Pretty cool. Listen to these verses, Leviticus 25. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself, help him as you would an alien so he can continue to live among you. Proverbs 14, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, which we know is God, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Proverbs 21, if a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Proverbs 22, do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Jesus said we'll be judged because of what we do or do not do with the poor. Let me take you to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Then he will say to those on the left, Jesus is saying, depart from me, you are cursed, and into the eternal flame prepared for you and the devils and the angels you go. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick and or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. We are going to be held accountable not only for our words and for our deeds. We're going to be held accountable for whether or not we remember the poor and we bless them and take care of them the way Jesus did. Because everything that we do or do not do to the least of these, he says it's the same way as if you did it to me. Now we get to the reason why we talk about remember the poor. Paul is being sent out by some of his other disciples. And listen what he says in Galatians 2. James, Peter, and John, those who were reputed to be pillars of the faith, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. When they recognized the grace given to me, they agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and that they should go to the Jews. And they asked what we should continue to do, and that is to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. That was Paul's cry to his heart. Hey, Paul writes all these books in the Bible. It's awesome, all the teaching, all the things that he does. You know what started him on his incredible journey? Three missionary journeys, founded churches left and right. He wanted to touch the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. And listen, we are the beginning of their hope. God forbid we'd never be the end of their hope through neglect or because we just feel inadequate or we just don't care. We just don't care. And listen, anybody who sins in the pulpit and looks at you and says a comment like that, trust me, this isn't about I'm trying to call you down. I'm saying as a church, we have to rise up and we have to care. We have to do something. There's something about the poor that God wants us to do, but there's some hurdles that we have to cross. There's some perceptions that usually ambush this thing right off. But some of them deserve it. Don't you think so, Pastor? Well, you know what? I could go down that road all you want, but I don't see anywhere in the Scripture that it says help the deserving poor. Find the ones that are really trying to get a leg up. Find the ones that are really trying to be responsible. Find the ones who are really trying to be a mom and dad. No, he just says take care of the poor. I've already told you about our benevolence needs. I don't want anybody to have to be interviewed in here and interrogated. I want them to feel the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ when they walk through our door and they begin to talk to Liz or any one of us and they go, wow, I'm in a place that wants to help me. Because sometimes we have to say no. Sometimes we have to say we just don't have the fun. Sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry, but you're not eligible. And I don't want them to feel like they've been rejected. I want them to understand that they have been embraced. But I don't have enough money, Pastor. Listen, regardless of how much money you do and do not have, this is about being willing and not what you can do. Missions, regardless of how you measure, it's never been about how much you have in spare, how much you do. Because anything that we do is going to be something that we're going to have to cut back. You're going to have to find some time. It's going to involve some sacrifice. You're going to hear about it a little bit later, but we have Gwen and Robin Bear, who's sitting right over here. They have something they go through to downtown in Tulsa every Thursday night. And it's called Thursday, say it loud because I'm hurting one arm and deaf in the other ear. Nightlights? Thank you. They visited with me on a couple of times on this. And I said, you know what? I want you to share this with us on sometime during the month of July. They go down there and there's these homeless people and these people that are hurting. They have kids and there's young parents and there's single parents and stuff like that. You know what? If anybody's going to be involved in something like that, you got to have a heart. You've identified a target. You got to take some action. But you know what? You're probably going to have to cut out something else. You're probably going to have to, it's going to take a little sacrifice. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't see anybody in here that has an extra paycheck or a day of pay laying around to do to one day to feed the world. We're going to have to make a little sacrifice to make that offering whatever it's going to be. And this is the things that we have to do. But, Pastor, the problem is too big. What can one person do? You've heard that story. The guy walking down the beach, he picks up a starfish, throws it back in the ocean. Picks up another starfish, throws it in the ocean. And the guy comes up and says, you know what? You can't save them all. He said, you're right. I can save this one. I can save this one. I got to tell you, I've never been poor. Most of us have never been, quote, technically poor. We shouldn't feel bad about that. God has not put us in the place we have. He hadn't blessed us. He hadn't helped us. And we haven't made right decisions and prayed and served the Lord successfully to get to where we are. So we would be embarrassed about it. But we need to measure that in the context of, now, Father, what do you want me to do about the poor? What do you want me to do about those people? Because some of them didn't ask for it. They didn't ask for the layoff. They didn't ask for the delay in the utility bill. They didn't ask for the gas to cut off. They didn't ask for all of these things to fall apart. They didn't ask for their husband or their wife to leave them. They didn't ask, they didn't ask, they didn't ask. And God says, remember the poor. So here's how we can help the poor. Number one, we can pray that God will give us a heart like His for the poor. Somewhere in here, God gives you the spirit. There's this passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and a passion for His Word. And as we read this, it's not, or let me just feel the goosebumps as I start, you know, bouncing through Psalms or something encouraging, or I'm sick, where are all the healing scriptures? No, it's about reading it all. And somewhere in there, God wants to hit your heart square in the middle and say, I want to give you a compassion and a passion for the poor. It's not going to be pretty. Sometimes it's not going to smell good. It's going to take some sacrifice. You may have to leave your comfort zone, but it'll be okay. Because you'll be following a heart and not because somebody obligated you to do something. The second thing is we can pray that God will provide through me. That God will do something through me. It's so easy to look around and understand that maybe God will do something through them. Or maybe God will do something through us. You know, it's really convenient to do the collective thing and say, well, I was a part of that and I gave my money and everything. And listen, that is a great part of it. But if God taps you on the shoulder, whispers in your ear, and says, I want you to do this, don't refer him to what we did as a group. But Lord, look what the Assemblies of God is doing nationwide. Look what they're doing overseas. Look what One Day to Feed the World is. They're feeding 150 million kids every day. Something like that. It's amazing. It's awesome. Don't point him to that, because he is pointed to you. And he wants to know what you're willing to do. Sometimes it has to get personal. And it just takes a little planning. I saw something the other day. I wish I'd have paid a little more attention to it. I just saw a little thing on Facebook that this family, they've made up these little bags. They're just clear Ziplocs. It has a $5 bill in it and a couple pieces of clothing and some candy and stuff like that. And they've decided that the next time they see somebody that is on the corner that's going to be asking for money, instead of just a $5 bill or a couple of bucks that you have in your car, they've already got these packages ready to go. You know what? They're planning on meeting the poor. They have scheduled in their own heart. They have made the adjustment. They took the time to put these things together, not so that their conscience would not bother them, but so that they would plan that the next time they see somebody that's poor, it would happen. I got to brag on my wife. We don't travel together. We barely talk. You know, pray for us. Dear God, you know, we need help. But anyway, we were driving the other day, and we drove up to this place, and I knew it's this place where these people are always sitting there with a cardboard sign. So I grabbed from my wallet, and Debbie says, you got any money? And I said, I think so. She goes, well, I don't have any ones. She's already digging through her purse. I went, so you were good? She goes, yes. You're looking at me like, I'm saved too. You know, I mean, it was kind of cool. We didn't talk about it or anything. She was just planning. And she goes, yeah, I do that every time I see somebody. I go, I know there's a reason I married you. This is awesome. I'll use that in the pulpit. No, I'm just kidding. The last thing is this. How can we help the poor? We can give. We can give. Now listen, I don't ever want you to discount that giving is the easy, cheap way out. It's not. It's not. God doesn't call everybody overseas. Doesn't call everybody to be a Jim and Jody Smith. God doesn't call everybody to go on a mission trip. Sometimes you'll never, ever be a part of a missions endeavor other than giving. Can I just tell you? Whoever can't go if you don't give. Sometimes God has called others to touch the poor directly, but you will be the greatest reason they got there because you gave. Whether you give directly to them, or whether you give through something like One Day to Feed the World, whether you give to this church in missions, God says sometimes the greatest thing you can do to remember the poor is to give. It's to give. Remember Abraham's story? God gave him a son. He said, I want you to take your son, your one and only son. And he meant the one that I promised you through Sarah. And I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham knew full well what that meant. It meant take him, bind him, put him on the altar, kill him, and sacrifice him to God. He obeyed that. He went all the way there. He left the manservants down there. They took the wood, put the wood on his own son's back. They climbed the hill. It was almost time, and his son said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. And the Bible doesn't say that Isaac said, what are you doing, when he began to tie him up. It doesn't say he did that at all. I don't know if he did or didn't. I'm not sure. Isaac had seen this before. He knew there needed to be a sacrifice, and all of a sudden, he was it. He laid him on the altar, and he took the knife, and he was fixing to plunge it into his own son's heart in obedience to God, and God stopped him. He said, this day I'm going to bless you because I've seen you have not withheld that one special thing that I've given to you. Sometimes the almighty dollar can be the most special thing we ever have, and it's so hard to turn loose. But you know what? God will supply. You know why? You know why Abraham said he was willing to do it? Because he believed that God would resurrect him from the dead. He said, you know what? God can do anything. My faith is in God. I can follow through in this and put my son to death because God will bring him back to life. But they found a ram over in the bushes as a sacrifice, and they took it and they sacrificed it instead. And we have this incredible story of obedience through Abraham. But we also have the contrast in the New Testament when the rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. He says, what must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus says, do this, do this, do this. Obey these commandments. And he looks at him and he says, Lord, I've done all of these since I was a kid. But this is one thing he knew that he was missing. So he said, what am I lacking? What am I missing here? There was something missing. And Jesus said, take all that you have, give to the poor. Sell it, give it to the poor. Follow me. The Bible says he walked away sad. Why? Because he had many riches. And you can focus on the riches all you want. You can turn that into dollar bills if you want. You can turn that into your 401k if you want. But I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes the riches aren't represented by dollars. It's about whether we're really willing to put ourselves in the place of that sacrifice first and say, God, do with me whatever you want to do. We can ask God how to go from there. Remember the poor. To be a part of missions, you have to have a heart that lines up with God. And one of the greatest things that I can sell you on is not Ethiopia, not China, not even Costa Rica where we're going, but ask you to identify with the heart of God. And the heart of God says, remember the poor. Remember the poor. That's our heart. From there, we get a target. The target might be somebody who comes into our office next. The target might be somebody that you see as a red stop at a stop sign, I'm sorry, with a cardboard sign. It might be somebody that you run across. That's your target. The bottom line is, will I take some action? Here's how I want us to conclude today. This is the type of altar call where we, quite honestly, we answer it not by coming to the front, but we answer it by talking to God. Because he's laid it upon every one of our hearts today. I don't know what he's asked you, but he's probably laid a little something on your life. Some of you, he said, you know what? I want you to start bending here a little bit and putting this aside because there's going to come a time when I'm going to ask you to remember the poor. And this is how you're going to do it. Some of you, it's going to be that you start adjusting your attitude a little bit. And it's not that you have a bad attitude. It's just that we're not thinking about the poor because we don't live in that arena. That we begin to embrace people. we begin to think of things that are far beyond our, and that the next time that God gives an invitation to be a part of remembering the poor, maybe we should be the first ones to step up and say, God will go. Not because pastor gave us the opportunity, there was a scheduled event, let's go. It's because God changed my heart way back here. It's just that this opportunity was the way I got to express it. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads, close your eyes. And in just a moment, we're going to be dismissed. We're not going to play any music today. But I just want you to look into your heart right now. Because God's looking there. He sees everything in your heart. It'd be easy to come to a church, any service, and talk about people that have been hurt, people that have been wounded, people that need to be loved more, people that need to be forgiven. But God, today, wants to get you out of that box just for a second and say, what about the poor? What about the poor? Is there room in your heart for the poor? Do you remember them? Are they on your mind? They don't have to occupy every moment, but in your heart, is there a place for the poor in your heart? And if God were to speak to you right now, would you be able to identify that target and take some action? If this is foreign to you because you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, I hope that you've come to know Him. I hope that you give Him your whole heart. I hope that you ask Him to forgive you of your sins so you can become a Christian, because one of the greatest things of being a Christian is expressing the heart of God. He came and He died on that cross so He could set you free, but He also died so that He could remember the poor and bless them. So, Father, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's July the 3rd, right after we dismiss today, everyone's minds are going to go to the 4th of July, and they should. But God, in the midst of all of this great celebration, in the midst of all the money we've spent on firecrackers, in the midst of all of the plans that we'll have tomorrow that involve a great deal of food, help us, oh God, to remember the poor. Something you've built within the Christian, Lord, that only makes sense in the sight of God's call is these people that don't know how to crawl out from underneath the poverty they live in. Lord, I ask you to bless them today. Father, will you put some of their images in our mind right now? Maybe some of the images we saw on the screen today. Children halfway across the world, just reaching out with their hands, just wanting something being handed to them. Maybe a morsel of food. Maybe it's a cup of water. But oh God, today we could be a part of making that happen. Father, maybe it's somebody, when we drive down the road today, we'll see a house that looked just like Jimmy Snyder's. We wonder if there's any electricity in there. Has anybody ever cut the grass? Does that car run? Do people really live in there? Oh, I can only imagine what the infestation of the insect is in that house. How do people live like that? God, you know how they live, and you know how we need to think about how they live so that we can touch them. God, I pray for this congregation today that we will leave identifying, finding, researching, coming across the action that you want us to take. Lord, I can't think of anybody in here that doesn't want to help. It's just, Father, we need to reprogram ourselves that's always what we're looking forward to do if God calls. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to bless us. Continue, oh God, to give us income. Continue to help us to live where we live, to do the things that we do so that we can live better lives than everybody else. This isn't comparison, Father. It's so that we can do what you've asked us to do. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you do me a favor? It's a little cheesy or whatever, but I just want us to say that phrase 3 times before we leave so that it just has that verbal impact. Those words came out of your mouth and not my mouth. Just say it 3 times. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. Remember the poor. You know what? In literally less than 24 hours, you're going to find, you're going to see, you're going to discover some poor people. Now, what you've got to discover is what God wants you to do. Listen, I can remember times driving by somebody that was stranded on the side of the road, get halfway down the road, feel bad about it. You know, sometimes you can't go back and do what you thought you should have done or whatever, but sometimes you can. You know? But here's the one thing I remember about stop signs. You know, anybody ever done this to you? They didn't stop at a stop sign. You call them on it. They go, oh, I'll stop twice at the next one. That doesn't work that way. Let God get a hold of your heart. Identify a target. And let's take some action. Amen. Now, the next action you need to take is to stand up and leave. God bless you. Thank you for being a great audience today. You're a wonderful crowd. I love your guts. Good night.